Praise God, hallelujah. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where lives have been transformed and enriched by the preaching of the Word of God. So we've been studying Bible truths concerning the local church. Bible truths concerning the local church. We have emphasized the need of the importance and the necessity of being found in a sound local church. Ephesians chapter 2 makes us realize that the body of Christ is a support system. God has put you in a support system where you are meant to thrive and grow. Ephesians in chapter 4. And many Christians, sadly, are revolting against this idea and aren't taking advantage of this support system that God has designed for them. Amazingly, or interestingly, the same set of people find themselves complaining about the fact that they are not growing in the faith. And you begin to wonder how they intend to grow after rebelling against God's wisdom. Ephesians chapter 4 and from verse 11, the Bible says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." You see, a pastor is not presiding over the body of Christ. This is a very strong proof that there's a need for a local church. I can't just step into anywhere now and say I'm a pastor to the body of Christ. A pastor is a pastor over a particular assembly, over a body of believers, an assembly of Christians, teachers, and then, you know, that's where he performs his ministry of equipping the saints for the work of ministry. So we see how that at Acts of Apostles 11 verse 26, Paul, Barnabas assembled with the church and they taught them continually. That's the first place Christians were referred to as Christians. So a pastor is over an assembly. The Bible says the work of the pastor and, you know, teachers, evangelists and all that is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So it's in the local church you are taught and equipped, you are trained to grow as a Christian, to grow up into effectiveness in the work of ministry. Now, doing the work of ministry is the ultimate assignment and the work given to us. Ministry here is not just about going out there to talk about Jesus or bringing men to the knowledge of Christ. Ministry is threefold. You have ministering to God, Acts 13:1. Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So there's ministry to God. There is ministering to the body of Christ, in the which we make a supply. 1 Corinthians 12 makes us realize that we minister to ourselves in spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7, Bible says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And then you see other forms of ministry, apart from spiritual gifts, signs and wonders, prophecy, utterance, revelation, and power gifts. You also see other forms of ministry in the which we can share and exhort ourselves. We can teach ourselves. We can also give of our material things to ourselves. So we minister to ourselves as the body of Christ. Also, we're going to find that also in Ephesians 4. Also, we minister to the world. So everybody, every believer, all of us together as a body have a collective task of going out there to reach the world. So when he says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, he's talking about this ministry, all round ministry. That means even in the worship of God, or let me say in ministering to God, in praising God, you need to be taught how to do it. You are not going to effectively minister to God until you are taught and trained on how to do it. And if you doubt this, then you need to look around the body of Christ today. You find out a lot of believers sing amiss and they praise amiss. Praise God. All kinds of songs because they have not been well taught. You see, the knowledge of God is based on knowledge. The worship of God is based on knowledge. Jesus says, you worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. So worship is based on knowledge. The praise of God is based on the knowledge of Christ. So there must be training. Hallelujah. And when you join a sound local church and we don't admit or allow or give room to any kind of song, that's part of the training. That's where you learn how to effectively minister to God. You are meant to be taught how to pray. You can't pray every kind of prayer just because you are a believer. So it's in the local church we learn how to pray also. We learn how to effectively pray. We know what should be the content of our prayers. Hallelujah. When you find a believer who prays against his enemies, he has not been well trained and well taught. In the local church, a sound local church, you learn how to pray. So that's ministry. Also, you learn how to minister to the world. You learn how to reach souls for Christ. There are lots of believers who cannot do evangelism because they are not in a sound local church. And listen, you cannot run away from ministry. If you don't submit to the work of ministry here, when you stand before Jesus, you would answer to him. Because he has sent us to do the work of ministry. What kind of Christian is it? Is he that does not serve God? What do you mean by some people are ministers? Me, I'm not a minister. Every believer has been called to serve Jesus. And we serve Jesus in these three ways. We minister to him, give him the fruit of our lips. We minister to fellow believers, and we minister to the world. So we are partners together with Jesus in the work he's doing on the face of the earth. Reaching out to men, bringing men to the knowledge of Christ. So Ephesians chapter 4, Bible says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be babes, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part doth its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Have you seen? So we all are to make a supply. It's in the local church you are taught how to make a supply to the body of Christ. You are not just in the body of Christ to receive, you are in the body of Christ to make a supply. You are in the body of Christ to learn how to be a blessing to every other person. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Bible says, and don't forget, let's not forget to stir up love and good works amongst ourselves. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So there's a stirring up of ourselves unto love and good works. It is something we do together. Hallelujah. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but exhorting one another. Glory be to God. So we are to exhort ourselves. So in the body, you are receiving and you're also making a contribution. And it's in the local church you learn how to be an effective minister even to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So we have emphasized the place of the local church, the importance of the local church. We cannot do without the local church. Hallelujah. The pastor needs the local church as much as the members also need the local church. That is God's design and support system for every believer on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Now, in the last teaching, I began to show us common excuses that people give for not being a part of the local church. I can worship God anywhere. You're right. You can worship God anywhere. But then that is not the only reason why we come to church. We don't come to church to meet God. We don't come to church to enter into God's presence. We are already in his presence. We have his presence in us. He's in us by his spirit. We're his temple. But we come to church to reach out to one another, to meet with one another. We come to church to stir up ourselves. We come to church to learn God's word, to be built up in the faith and be effective in the work of ministry. So while it is true that you can be anywhere and worship God, that should not be an excuse for not being a part of a local church. Hallelujah. Even that your worship that you are doing everywhere, we just spoke about it. You learn how to be effective in that in the local church. Hallelujah. I can study my Bible everywhere. You are right. That's why Bible is in the bookshop. In the library, is everywhere, but you come to church to be taught the scriptures. You come to church to be taught the scriptures. Also, apart from the fact that you come to be taught, There are many times you are distracted from reading your Bible. There are many times you know you ought to read your Bible, but you don't always read your Bible. So when you come to the church, that which you were meant to have done that you did not do, you will participate in it when you come for church meeting. That's assuming you are in a good local church. Hallelujah. Because you could watch movies all day and see comedy and still come to church and they are showing you Night of a Thousand Laughs. Praise God. That's a terrible church. Now, a sound local church will be a place where we put your gaze or your focus on the things that are of Christ. Hallelujah. So you can study your Bible everywhere, but in the church you are taught. Praise God. Let me also let you see the importance of being taught. Many times believers cherry pick scriptures. There are some truths that are not convenient for you. As you read through the Bible, you want to dodge it. When you come to a church like mine, we're going to open that place for you. Hallelujah. We're going to let you see it. Glory to God. For instance, it has been given to you not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. Believers dodge those scriptures. Hallelujah. They dodge it because it's offensive. So in the local church, in a sound local church, you are taught all scriptures. The convenient, the inconvenient, the truth that is convenient for you, that is easy to accept, and the hard truths. You receive everything. Hallelujah. In a sound local church. I have friends that I can worship with. We meet together. I think that's good. That's a substitute for a local church. Not true. Well, even the meeting, even your circle of friends, there's a man identified as a leader or a pastor, and that's good. That's a church in itself. But if there's nobody identified as a leader and everybody just comes to yarn, praise God, you just come falling and yarn, say your own, say my own. No, that cannot be a substitute for a healthy local church. So let me go on to other excuses that people give. People say that I get to work every Sunday. How do I be a part of a sound local church? How would I commit to a sound local church? You know, having to work every Sunday. If I'm going to be very diplomatic and politically correct, I'll say, well, that's true. You can't have time. I mean, every Sunday, just tune in on Mixlr or follow us on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube. You can't follow, I mean, you can't. You're busy, but just imagine yourself as a disciple of Jesus in his ministry. Would the excuse of not having time every Sunday be tenable? Would Jesus take such an excuse and say, wow, that's true. You're very busy. Praise God. I don't think so. And I don't think there's any job. I don't think there's any job that makes you so busy that you don't have time every Sunday for church. I don't think that's such a job that is healthy for you as a Christian. I know there are times when certain jobs will require you to be away on some Sundays. I mean, if you're a nurse or a doctor or a pilot, we can't say Christians can't be pilots or Christians can't be nurses and doctors. So there will be some times when, due to your own shift, you have to be away. But it cannot be every Sunday. Do you get what I'm saying? It can't be every Sunday. Once it's every Sunday, it's risky. Now, I don't know how you want to make up for that. Maybe you have an evening church you attend, but it is a risky position. And I don't think it's a healthy thing for you. You should find your way around it to make sure you are available in a sound local church. You are committed in a sound local church. You could speak with your pastor and let them know. I mean, you must be committed to the activities. Forget the fact that you may be able to make up for it later in the evening. You are going to miss out on many important aspects. There is ministering to ourselves, which you won't make up for through tapes. You won't listen to tape and, you know, you receive word of knowledge for yourself. You receive tongue and interpretation. You see? No, there are aspects of ministry, aspects of discipleship that has to be done on ground. You must be there in the meeting. You must be a part of the training. You must be accountable. We must see you regularly. So you have to have a rethink about this. Never get to a point in your life where you are so busy as a Christian, you can't be available on Sundays. I don't think it's the right thing. Praise God. All right. Some also give excuses of church is boring these days. I think church is so boring. You are not in a good church. Or you are not born again. It's either of, you know, those two things. If you are in a sound local church where they preach about Jesus and they talk about what Christ has done and the gospel is the emphasis, then church cannot be boring if you are born again. But if you are not born again, church will be boring to you. I've seen people step into sound local churches and they were not happy. They were not excited about anything happening there. So it could be a sign that you are not even born again. Maybe you were just a part of church ever since you were born, or you just followed your friend to church and all that. Or maybe your conscience has been so numbed, your mind has been so corrupted and unrenewed that you can't appreciate spiritual things now. So that could take a while for you to break out of it. But church is not boring. Church is not boring. Maybe you should define what you mean by boring. Hallelujah. If church is boring to you, something is wrong, either with the church or with you. Now, if the church is faithful to preaching God's word, then something is wrong with you. Hallelujah. Some go to church looking for amusement, entertainment, a church that is always doing something new, unusual Sundays. Hallelujah. You come this Sunday, the pastor sits by the door. He's the one welcoming everybody like a Father Christmas. This church, they are so creative. Praise God. And then by the time you want to sit down, they say, don't sit. Today, we'll first dance around the chair before you sit down. The man is just excited about every fun activity. You get to church next time, you see a big screen. Today, what's happening today? We are watching UEFA Champions. Wow, this church. So, something is wrong. Church is not boring if it's about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's about Jesus, spiritual things, prayer, emphasis on the work of ministry, then the problem is not with the church, the problem is with you. But if what they are preaching in that church is not the gospel, then the problem is with the church. Then you need to find a good church, a church that exalts Jesus and talks about what he has done and preaches Christian commitment in the light of that reality. All right. Also, there are other excuses that people give. People say that, well, in that church, they are just young guys. I can't be a part of a church where everybody is just young. I need a church where people are grown up that they are so irresponsible. You know, many adults don't like going to places where the youths are so vibrant, everybody is doing the work of ministry, they have time to pray. They have too many burdens and concerns. They just want to brisk into church and brisk out. Because they have other responsibilities that make it difficult for them to be committed in a sound local church. Evangelism, he cannot be around because he has to cook. Praise God. And then prayer meeting. No, he can't come because all through the week, he was working, the wife was working, and this is the weekend they decided to make up for all that business. So he can't be at a prayer meeting on a Saturday. What are you doing? So people want to be in a church where we understand the peculiarities of adulthood, you know. You are already backslided. Hallelujah. Do you know you can have fun with your family? You can go out, you can have vacation, you can have you can go on outings and dates and all that and still be very vibrant as a Christian. There's time for it, actually. You can plan these things. It shouldn't be at the expense of spiritual commitment. So that excuse of they are all so young is just so wrong. Hallelujah. It's just so wrong. What would you have said about Jesus and his disciples? Jesus was the eldest of them. And he was just 30 when he started ministry. And by the close of his ministry, he was 33. And then Peter was the eldest of all the disciples, 21, 22 years. We had men who were 18 years old. The apostles, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Those were the guys that shook the world. Those were the guys that Jesus handed the gospel to. Amen. Timothy himself was a young man that Paul handed the church at Ephesus and other places too. Praise God. So you see, it's a wrong excuse to say that because they are young in that place, I can't be a part of them. No, it's a wrong excuse. Others have excuses like the pastor is also young. It's funny. Some would say the pastor is a woman. Hallelujah. And eventually go to seek a job in an office where the boss is a woman, and they submit and they carry fire for the woman. Praise God. But you cannot join a church where the pastor is a woman. That's wrong. Hallelujah. We should be able to receive irrespective of age. Because when it comes to spiritual things, it's not about age. Hallelujah. It's about whom God is using. It's about whom God has called and has equipped for that task. So it's a wrong excuse. You should be a part of a local church, even if you are the Ancient of Days and the person is just 18 years old. Hallelujah. Or the person is just 19 years old. I remember my first outdoor crusade. I was just 19. And a particular man listened for 3 days. And at the end of the crusade, he walked up to me and said, "Thank you very much. You blessed me. I was very blessed. Thank you very much." And he said a few other things. This man was, I mean, at that point in time, I'm sure he was over 70 or close to 70. He was great. Do you understand? But he received the ministry with all humility and meekness. Hallelujah. So age should not be a reason why you won't be a part of a sound local church. Some would say, the pastor is not married. What do you want to do with his marriage? Did Paul marry? You know, we have all these funny mindsets. Because he's not married, he's inexperienced. What is he meant to teach? Is he meant to teach experiences or the word of God? What are we to look out for? Soundness in doctrine and purity of character. Hallelujah. That is what you find in the pastoral epistles. So it's not about him being married. When I eventually get married, I won't be more of a pastor. Praise God. That's why pastors who are divorced are still pastors and can be a blessing to people. So all those funny excuses should not be a reason why you shouldn't be a part of a local church. Some say, I'm not close to a sound local church. My house is so far. Distance. Hallelujah. And you know, that one always sounds very legitimate. Distance. I live in Apapa, and then the church is at Ikeja, or that's even quite close, or the church is at Barua, or Ipaja, or Yanopaja. How do I do it? I mean, church is not close to me. Well, the same set of people would go to the island every day from one extreme end of mainland every day, going to work Monday to Friday, get into traffic on their way back from work, third mainland bridge. They would endure afflictions, hallelujah, as good soldiers in the world. They will endure afflictions as touching the things of this world. The distance will not be a barrier. And do that Monday to Friday. And then Sunday, just one day. Because most people won't even attend midweek services. So, but let's make it two. Sundays and Wednesdays. And then that's an excuse. They can't be available because it's so far. I think the problem is priority. What you place priority, what you see as priority, what you place premium on as a believer is going to go a long way in how much you commit yourself to it. I don't think distance is a problem. I think it's about priority. Priorities. It's really about priorities. And, when I was in Ghana, Accra, some years back, we would go for a meeting in church. And after we're done with the meeting, we now go for second service. Guess what? Second service, if you know my church, my area, I stay at Barua, and then church location is at Barua. It's like traveling from there to Redemption Camp, even beyond Redemption Camp. That's where we go for second service every Sunday. Now, that's a long distance. And then we get there and then have another 2-3 hours service. And after the service, we have workers' meeting and all that. And then we start coming back home. So sometimes I get home 10 p.m. in the night. I'm not saying have that kind of commitment, people. We don't do that here in my church. But I'm just letting you see how that. When you place premium on something or you prioritize something, there's no length you can't go. Praise God. So the excuse of time has never been tenable for me. It depends on what you are looking for. If you are looking for a sound and healthy local church and you don't find it in your environment, you should go that length of looking for it anywhere. Is that not the same reason why you won't just opt for the nearest hospital? You know, we don't do that. They say, well, the hospital around us, it's quack doctors that are there. I cannot kill myself. That's where I go. You want to go and kill yourself. You don't do that with earthly things. Praise God. Like someone told me, said, when I was asking her, he said, why don't you attend a sound local church? You know, because she used to attend a word church before, and then she just joined one of these hip-hop churches. And I said, what's happening? She said, hey, there's no sound local church in my area. I said, but did you attend a school in your area? And then she said, you're not serious. I actually was serious, because that's exactly the reason why we don't attend the nearest school, then we don't use the nearest hospital, we don't use the nearest eatery. You know, you go such lengths. You don't look for a job in your environment. You look for the best. So why should you consider distance when it comes to choosing a sound local church? It's about priority. You don't see your spiritual growth as something important, something that is important enough to demand that extra commitment. Praise God. So time is not meant to be, distance rather, is not meant to be a barrier. Or also, people say they take a lot of time in that church. That's the reason why I can't be in a church where they take people's time. Okay, go to a sound local church where they don't take people's time. And when you are done searching for it, you come back and let's have this discussion, because you won't find it. A sound local church will be a place where they spend time. The only thing is that the time spent is not in frivolities. It's in the real things. And when you stay there and you receive that training long enough, you would appreciate the fact that you spend time around the things of God. All right, I'm going to continue from here in the next teaching, continue with other things that I would like to share as excuses that people bring up. So most of these things, I'm just going to be giving counsels. We've gone through many things from scriptures. So, but these excuses, I'm just going to give counsels based on my experience as a pastor and as a believer also. I'm not giving any counsel that I don't play by. I mean, you will never find me choosing spiritual things, spiritual commitment, or choosing a church based on convenience. It will never happen, because I know it is not about convenience. It's about quality training and development. So we are going to continue this in the next episode. Don't forget to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates, and let's come together and have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to be full of God's Word, full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.